Everybody get ready in 3, 2, 1.
Live from the top of Caxton Street, home of Suncorp Stadium, Lefties, Gambaros and the Caxton Hotel. On 104.5 Triple M and the Listener app, this is Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margot. Triple M
Breakfast. Hello, welcome to the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Call us during the show, 5:30 to 9 a.m, 133353. Text Marto anytime on his burner phone, 0484 10 1045. We can't do it during the show. We'll do it now.
Can you read out Ray's? Because I think I've already got the answer.
Oh, okay. Well, Ray from Springfield said, "Hey, guys, as a Queenslander who follows the Titans, oh, dear, I'm looking for advice on who I should be backing in this week's NRL Grand Final."
Well, the Titans, the colour of jersey, same as North Devils playing in the All-Australian Cup, whatever they're calling it. So, North Devils, Ray. I suppose Parramatta are close to Titans colours too, aren't they?
Blue and yellow.
Also support Ukraine, the colour of Brisbane.
Blue and yellow.
Are you right, Ray?
Remember they lit up the bridge and we couldn't decide whether it was for Parramatta, Brisbane or Ukraine because it was blue and yellow. A lot of blue and yellow going on. Oh, so there you go. There's a blue and yellow wave.
Good luck, Ray. Mm. And just get pissed.
And also, by the way, Parramatta burnt down the grandstand. So if you're a fan of anarchy and
burning
down the house.
And flammable stuff, get around the ears. They might burn down another grandstand they did in 81.
Here you go. Here's another one. Brenton from Jimboomba. I need a food ruling. I need a ruling on this one, guys. A burger with a lot. Does it need beetroot and pineapple or just one or the other?
Both.
I'm with you both. Give me a fist bump.
It's got the lot. Well,
you need lettuce, tomato, cheese, onion, beetroot, an egg, pineapple, hamburger.
Can I check something?
Tomato sauce, though. I'm not a barbecue sauce kind of guy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Can I check something? Do you cook the pineapple? Because one day I got caught out.
Pineapple fritter is good.
Yeah, it gets hot though.
But no, not on a burger.
Yeah, thanks.
Because your lettuce, tomato, beetroot, all already cold.
Yeah.
And you've got to have bacon as well.
A lot of liquid in pineapple too.
Yeah, bacon.
A lot of liquid, and that liquid's going to just get molten.
Beef burger.
It's absolutely incredible.
Have you know the old joke about the lot with the Dalai Lama, Marto? Do you want to see if Margot gets it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know this.
What?
The Dalai Lama.
Are you trying to insinuate that I'm stupid?
Well, let's find out.
I don't know whether you're religious.
So the Dalai Lama walks into a pizza store and says, "Can you make me one with everything?"
Yeah.
He's one with everything because he is the almighty Dalai Lama.
Margot. She got it.
Did they say you already are?
Carl Stefanovic told that joke to the Dalai Lama and it was met with absolute cricket, sort of like it was just then. Might just be a shit joke.
I don't think pizzas are all that big in Nepal.
But the answer to, what's his name?
Brenton from Jimboomba.
You need both.
Yep.
You need the lot. That means everything.
And then
bacon, egg, patty.
And one
cheese
one
has got to go on top.
Jeez, yeah.
You know, they burn, not burn, when they're cooking the patty, they put the cheese on top. So it melts slightly.
Can I give you a little
tip? There's like an order.
Can I give you a little tip?
Yeah.
Patty, onions, and then I put the cheese on and just let that melt
over the top.
So there's a little roof over the top of the onions on the patty.
They don't fall off your burger and then
That's right.
You don't get sued.
You don't get any.
Last one here about the school holidays. Suzanne at Sunnybank. Margot, it's for you.
Talking about school holiday pain this morning, and I'm feeling you. Any tips of parks around Brisbane that are good for a couple of hours of fun?
Where does she live? Sunnybank. Garden City Shopping Centre.
That's not a park. She didn't mean car parks. I think she meant, hello, here's some swings, kitty.
You're asking the woman.
The Garden City Shopping Centre is good because it's got time zone and it's got bowling and it's got karaoke and it's got a great food court outdoor for the kids.
She doesn't want to spend money.
But if you want to go to a park, New Farm Park's good, Bulimba Park's good, the Botanical Gardens.
Sunnybank, drive up to New Farm.
Sunnybank, that's not far.
This is the problem. You're the one that dropped your children at the cinema, let them go.
I just left them there.
And made them walk home and you had the house locked.
Have you seen some of the new parks they're building around town? They're incredible. The activity parks. There's one at Grinstead Park at Inogra. There's one at Hamilton where they're just out of this world. It used to be just a steamroller from the Second World War.
Yeah, but they've made all the slides steel. And
have
they burn
again?
Them.
Have they?
Burn the kids.
But you know the advantage of
what
that?
They've got old plastic ones.
On the steel slide, get your bun, put the onions down and the cheese,
and
put
you cook
it on
your
the
burger.
Steel slide.
Just use it as a bain marie. It's wonderful. Hope that helps, Suzanne. Well, I don't care.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Less than half an hour until we give away the chance to win those tickets to the grand final. Yes. Remember yesterday I was telling you, I think we spoke about it twice during the show, the Cumberland Oval, the home ground of Parramatta after they won their first ever grand final.
1981.
What happened then?
They burnt down the stadium.
The grandstand, the timber grandstand, okay? Mm. So I go to the park yesterday, Arvo, with Ted hitting the ball and stuff, and I look over, there's a bloke watching me, he's with his granddaughter about 10 metres away. I said, oh, Parramatta fan, had a pair of Parramatta shorts. I said, bet you got them on all week. He said, yeah, and last week. So he's wearing his parachutes every day. Yeah. He said, I'm going to the grand final.
Oh.
I said, you ripper. I said, you've been following him since you were a kid. He said, nah. I was a Victorian. He's been living in Brizzy for 30 years or so. He said, no, my missus is a para fan. And he said, and in fact, she was there the day they burnt the grandstand
down. Oh, wow.
She brought the butane, did she?
Hold on a second. So that's when I shook his hand. I said, I need to speak to your wife. His name's Cookie. I'd never met him before. What a great bloke. And he said, here's Barb's number. Hello, Barbara.
How you going?
Tell us more.
Barbara, Marto just said that you were there the day they burnt down the wooden grandstand. What was your involvement?
Helping cut the... They pulled all the palings down from the fence and they used those to start the fire. So we all grabbed all the palings and brought them over and... We were burning, they burnt the grandstand, but they also burnt the change rooms as well as the scoreboard.
So we know that all that stuff was going to go, the grandstand and everything. Was the fence going to go as well, or did they just pull down a perfectly good fence they were going to use?
Well, the palings made good
kindling.
Oh, no. Now, Barbara, it was a Saturday, I think, they played the grand final and that. What time of the night or day? So everyone went to the grand final or they watched it on telly and then went down to this Cumberland Oval, the home ground of Parramatta, yeah?
Well, they all tried to get into the Leagues Club, but it was absolutely chockers and you couldn't get in there. So then everybody ventured off to Cumberland. And there was a whole heap of alcohol consumed and then people thought it'd be great to start some fires because they'd been promised forever to get a new grandstand, so they were making sure that they got their new grandstand.
Yeah. Barb, I've been told by a different source, were there two attempts made? Like it was on fire, the fire brigade came, it was on fire again, the fire brigade put it out. Is that true? It took three goes to burn it down?
It did, yeah.
What was the magic ingredient the third time around? Was it sharing some of that one for me, one for the fire, alcohol type situation?
I actually think the fireys just gave up.
Oh.
So did they wet it, Bob? Did you have to burn through the water from the truck to get it restarted again?
They just started at different points.
Now, Barb, you were a relatively young girl, just in your late teens, mid-teens at that stage. Did any of the players turn up? Like, was it a player? They look out the league club, go, the grandstand's burning down, I might head over. What happened?
I didn't see any.
How many people involved?
Oh, there were thousands.
And, Barb, statute of limitations has expired here, so you can't get in trouble. What was your actual involvement? Did you bring a box of Redheads? Did you have some diesel? What did you do personally?
I only carted over some palings and watched it all burn.
Yeah. Okay. So the most important part, we all know you can't light a fire without good kindling.
That's right. Hey, Barb, so 81, you won the grand final. 82, you won the grand final. 83, you won the grand final. 84, you lost the grand final. 86. You must have thought this was going to go on forever, did you?
Not really. Not really. No. Once Sterlo retired and that, you knew it was coming to an end.
Oh. Yes, didn't you?
You must be excited, though, for this weekend. Marto mentioned your husband's going.
Cooking.
Are you going with him?
Yeah. I bought the tickets in... once we beat Melbourne Storm, I bought the tickets to the grand final.
You knew that you were going to be there.
Slightly optimistic. Oh, right.
If the Eels get up, will you go to the nearest fence, take the palings off and burn down Accor Stadium?
I don't know, but I've signed up membership to the Leagues Club, so I'll make sure I get in this year.
Oh, nice. Great story. Thanks, Barb.
Good on you, Barb.
Thanks.
Barb there, who helped burn down the grandstand at the Eels
special
stand.
I told you I had a special rugby league guest.
Well done.
Was it?
Glorious to listen to the Eels theme song too.
Isn't it? Another song from the 50s.
In the meeting yesterday we mentioned, you know, maybe getting Gerds on or Scotty Sattler.
Or Ray Price or Brett Kenny or someone.
Or someone. Marto said, no, I've got
special.
I've got a special.
He said, I'm going to light a fire under this show.
Let's get Peter Sterling. No, let's get Barb.
Okay.
I think we're officially on the Eels bandwagon, aren't we? Penrith had a go last year. Are we all around the fire starters?
Para and North Devils.
All right, let's go.
Triple the para fire starters.
Marto and Margot, Triple M Breakfast.
Cape Canaveral, the headquarters of NASA, was going off again yesterday. And don't the nerds love a bit of excitement when the countdown happens?
3, 2, 1.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the timing. Wow.
An 8-second glimpse at the end of a 10 million kilometre journey.
And we have impact.
We have impact. And you're going, is this the third time they were trying to take off the rocket? No, when they disappointed 250,000 nerds there that day who were trying to look for it. Once it's failed. Twice they've called it off. Three times they've called it off. And you're going, Marto, is that the one? No,
well, hang on, Marto. You know the advice.
You don't want to light the candle until it's ready to go.
That's right.
That's our favourite cartoon tortoise.
We'll get back to him shortly.
He runs NASA, right? Is that the bloke running NASA?
He's the spokesperson for NASA. But I tell you what, a few others put their head up. Margo, what they're aiming to do, and I didn't realise, they've got a couple of projects going at Cape Canaveral there, the NASA. They've got I can't even remember now where that other rocket was going, but this thing's been going for a few years. They've sent it out into outer space, wherever that is. And they're trying to knock an asteroid. Remember that? The movie thing.
Armageddon.
Thank you.
Is this what's happening in real life?
Oh, we haven't put Bruce aboard it, have we?
Ben Affleck on board?
No humans.
He retired from acting.
No humans. As they say.
3.
Oh, not that one.
No, that one.
We're embarking on a new era of humankind.
Right. So what, there's an asteroid heading towards Earth
There's an asteroid minding its own business, not even attacking us. It's just doing loops. And
so
they're going, just in case Armageddon happens, there's a football-sized asteroid. They've gone, it's going, okay, let's see if we can knock it off its trajectory.
It's a training run, Margaret.
Yeah, it's a practice run. So they've launched this it's a fridge-sized thing, and they've just gone ping off the NASA catapult, which is
a rocket.
Like
a slingshot.
But that was actually the name of it.
Blasting off nearly a year ago from California,
liftoff of
DART, the double asteroid redirection test, with the world's first planetary defence mission to prove one day they could save the planet.
Okay. So NASA's on the darts.
They're on the darts. I thought it was as in plane.
It's taken a year to get there.
Get there, yeah.
Oh, my
double
God.
Double asteroids. And they got a camera on this fridge. Yeah, it's the size of a fridge. It's hitting an asteroid the size of a football stadium, okay? That's their aim, is just to hit it. And I don't know if it works. These are the blokes that said they landed on the moon. Are we all sure this has actually happened? Yes, there is it a computer? All right, play some more.
Humanity 1, asteroids 0.
Oh,
by Claire,
hey,
that's right.
Boom.
We won again. Asteroids.
Hang on. I wouldn't be tempting the asteroids, right? We're all aware of what happened 65 million years ago. There were some pretty big lizards cruising around who thought they were king shit too.
This guy will tell you.
Okay.
This comet is what we call a planet killer.
It's a planet killer.
Hang on, it wasn't headed towards us. Why are we messing with this one? Because if this one, we could knock it
it'll go and tell the other asteroids, don't stuff with that Earth joint. They're sending out fridges.
It's a warning shot.
My goodness.
All right, one more.
I believe it's going to teach us how one day to protect our own planet from an incoming asteroid.
I'm not sure it's asteroids we need to be worried about.
Yes,
we're doing
ourselves.
A lot of damage.
We are the apex predators of this Earth. We know we're killing ourselves. We know that, don't we?
That same guy said, if the dinosaurs had this technology, they'd still be alive.
No, they couldn't operate it with their little hands.
I mean, climate change will get us before then.
Yeah. Also, that guy is going to be an issue because, say, there is an asteroid headed directly towards us and we've got 4 days to launch to knock it off track. He'll just keep saying,
you don't want to light the candle.
We've got to go
early.
Until it's ready to go.
We're going too early. It takes us a year to get there.
You've got to go, bro, now.
He's my favourite. Triple M Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Every human being needs something to look forward to, holidays or whatever. Well, it's normally holidays. You need something in the distance, no matter it's a year away, whether it's 2 weeks away, whatever.
A long weekend this weekend.
Yes, hallelujah, the last one of the year until Christmas. 133353, the shortest holiday you've ever had when holiday plans early
go awry.
All right, you know part of this story,
but
you said wait until you do it and tell me
you
on the show.
You started telling me this story.
And
you said
wait.
Okay. Do it on air.
You know our wonderful boss, Will. Okay, so I had a chat to him 2 or 10 days ago, and it was before, because you said, yes, I wonder where, I haven't seen him. Because he'd been waiting. He hadn't had a holiday for 2 years because of COVID and everything like that. And he's got 2 boys bringing them up on his own. So he'd planned this holiday with 6 other mates, all blokes, Spain. He's a mad motorbike, loves his motorbike, big road tour at 1200. He was going, because I said to him, what are you doing? Landing in Spain, doing a 3-week lap around Spain on these high-powered motorbikes. Can you imagine on what are their autostradas, whatever they call them?
Incredible. We did Great Ocean Road on the back of a Harley. It was
how good.
Beautiful. I mean, right. I can only imagine Spain.
So he was six, and some of them were mates from high school. They were really deep old.
So long.
Exactly. Blokes only, just looking forward to the best time. And I'd seen him the day before. All right. I run into a bloke yesterday, and he went, oh, I said, oh, I know you from somewhere. He said, yeah, mate, la, la, la. I'm a best mate of your boss, Wills. I went, oh, Christ, Al, how are you going? He said, not good about what happened. I said, what? The bloke's riding a motorbike around Spain. He's having the
how
time of his
can
life.
It be?
I said, mate, I saw him the day before. He was so happy. He said, didn't you hear? One day in, lost it on the gravel, broke his leg in three different places.
Oh, crap.
Airlifted to France for surgery. And it's taking him so long, they've got to fly a medic. Now, I don't know if that's a nurse or a doctor. Lucky he had health insurance, took out travel insurance
Day
he left because it was insisted upon by someone here at work. Make sure you got your travel insurance.
If you're doing a motorbike trip with no speed limits around Spain.
I want to throw it down there. I'll give you one other example. My brother-in-law, so one day into a three-week trip, broke his leg. My brother-in-law had two mates. They were going on a surfing safari from the coast down to Sydney, stopping at all those little places off the Pacific Highway. They got 80 kilometres. They didn't even make it to the Byron turnoff.
Oh.
Six surfboards flew off the car sorry, shouldn't laugh. It got nailed by about 10 trucks. They were in just 1,000 bits.
Exploded.
They looked at each other. They turned around and went home. 1 hour.
Oh.
You'll get people here through COVID who had border closures, flights cancelled, went to the airport. I reckon they got 0 minutes in. 1-3-3-5-3.
Shortest holiday.
Give us a call.
Short holidays is what we're talking about.
I've got a girlfriend who loves to go on skiing holidays, but every time she goes, she does a knee or an ankle. She's had like four surgeries on
skiing's
her knees and ankles.
Not for her.
Just for skiing. I'm like, stop. She's like, but I love it.
No.
What do you love, skiing or being in hospital?
Yeah, 1-3-3-5-3.
Waiting for everyone to finish skiing.
Shortest holiday, Jeff from Logan Reserved. Where were you going? How long was it supposed to be and how long did it end up?
Well, it was more of a, we're heading over to South America in November. But one of the boys went there 3 years ago for the same tour, and he was telling us how he was up in the volcanoes looking at the lakes and that, and the cougar came flying out of the bushes and ripped into this animal, so he took off with the boat thinking the cougar was going to chase him.
Oh, Jesus.
But hold on, did he have to call the holiday off because of that?
Was he eaten?
Definitely not.
Can we just clarify, you mean the aggressive cat, right? Not a 65-year-old towy bird.
Harley Breen, his humour ain't clean. With his handlebar moustache, he looks mean. It's Harley Breen.
Harley, how are you, mate?
Good morning, all of you wonderful people. How are you fresh off your week off?
Oh, it's incredible.
Not so fresh.
Rested.
Not that fresh. I noticed that you had the big guy, the top job on the show on Monday. You had Albo on, the Prime Minister.
He
didn't call
me
up to come and have a chat with him. Well, you can't unleash me on that sort of situation.
Well, Marto was in here wearing no shoes.
And his legs were covered in paint.
Actually, and we did not ask him one question at all about politics. It was all just a footy chat. It was great.
It was glorious.
Yeah, that's the kind of chat you want, really, on this station.
Harley, Albo nearly started a new government fund to buy Marto some shoes. He pulled out his wallet.
Pulled out his wallet and a 20.
Yeah.
Said, here, mate.
I don't know if that was taxpayer dollars or I guess
it's Albo's
money.
He said, this is my hard-earned money. Yeah, thank you very much.
We pay for him, don't we? So technically. Would you be happy for your taxpayer dollars to go to Marto to buy new shoes?
Oh, look, I'll buy Marto some shoes. I'm good for it. I'm buying so many for my kids anyway. You can have some of those. We can stitch them together, the old pair. Speaking of my children, everything that's old is new again, guys. I don't know if you know this, but it's very fashionable now for a young boy to have his ears pierced, if you ask my 12-year-old, who convinced me of that, and went and got his ears pierced over the weekend.
You let him?
Hold on. Do you need to let him?
Yeah, he's underage.
Well, he's 12. You do have to have a legal guardian present. A child can't just walk into a piercing salon and go, righto, knock it in.
It's like tattooing now. You've got to be over 18 or have a guardian.
But who said he got it done at a proper agency? Well, you used to get your mate just punch a hole through it.
Well, this is exactly my point I want to bring up. He got this, went to this place. It looked like a doctor's surgery rather than, some sort of dodgy out-the-back tattooist that had put something through your ear. And he's got both little piercings, perfect little piercing studs. See, when I did it, it. I was on the back of the bus on the way to a school trip, and I had my sister's piercing stud in my pocket, and there was some grade 12s up the back. I was in grade 8, and I thought, I'll impress them. I said, you want to see me pierce my ear? Oh. Now, normally you'd get a little cork and put it behind your earlobe and a bit of ice,
maybe.
I just fired the thing through with the sheer will of power. Right in there.
How did that turn out?
Get infected.
Oh, it didn't go well. I do look a little bit like Mark Chopper Reed. But and also, I came home from that school trip and my mother wouldn't speak to me for a week. So times have changed, you know?
Wow.
It's a different world
now.
So
did you pay for, you paid for his piercing at the age of 12?
Yeah. Why not?
Well, hard for you to say no, Harley, when you just told us that story. You can't say to him you can't when you did yours on a bus with no medical staff around.
I mean, personal choice, but I'm not a big fan of piercings on men, just in general.
Aren't you?
Like, Corey
What's
had
wrong?
A tongue ring before I met him.
Did
like,
he?
Gross.
Well, hello.
Marto's got a Prince Albert. What are your thoughts on that?
Right. Mate, I'm off to get him a face tattoo after this.
Triple M, Marto and Margo with you, featuring Harley Breen. The normal intro we play with his handlebar moustache.
Yes.
He looks what I mean, Harles. I forgot, before we went on break, I got Richter, our audio genius, to cook you up a new intro.
Did you?
Here you go, mate, because you don't have the handlebar moustache anymore.
No,
he's bearded.
He's bearded, so he fixed it for you, brother.
Harley Breen, his humour ain't clean. Shaped his moustache and his beard, but still looks mean. It's Harley Breen.
We're going to need to tweak that again, because it seems to shave
his beard. He's hairy.
I'm just going to keep you thinking. And also, when I'm clean-faced, I don't look mean at all. I look so baby-faced. It's why I've always got facial hair.
Without his moustache or his beard, he looks like Charlie Sheen. It's Harley Breen.
Only in looks and not in behaviour.
Winning.
Although things got a bit Charlie Sheen on the weekend, I'll tell you what. I don't know if you know this, but we had our big aerial ping pong grand final down here.
We were watching.
What's aerial ping pong?
Aerial ping pong. AFL. Aussie rules.
Have
great
you ever
game.
Heard that called that before?
Never.
Oh, it's a good one.
Haven't
I was actually
you?
Thinking of ping pongs dropping out of the sky.
Oh, no.
No,
it was the Swannies versus the Cats, and I could have picked it because I don't know if you've ever seen a fight between a cat and a bird, but the cat always comes off better in those scenarios. And I had a friend in town, and the next day, this is going to blow your minds. The next day, the sun was out in Melbourne, which is was a shock to everybody involved. And my friend was sort of wandering around licking his swan wounds. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, oh, do you want to come over here? And I went, absolutely not. Not leaving my house on a day like this. You're welcome here. And so from having just a very chilled out day on my own with wife and the children, all of a sudden there was multiple families, multiple children in the backyard. And it was an impromptu day drink. And I'm all about it, by the way. Just out of nowhere, just to crack. They brought over what I could only describe as a box of Aperol Spritz. There was a lot of ingredients prepared.
Can I ask, are they the ones that you get two glasses with them as well?
No.
Oh, right.
I don't know. You're just double parking yourself there, Marta. But good on you. I support that, especially
Aperol,
day drinking.
Aperol is that orange liqueur.
Ready orange, yeah.
So and then what do you put with it?
Then champagne.
It's a Prosecco.
Yeah,
Prosecco and some Aperol and some soda water. And you know what, to be honest? Just leave the soda water out. Just more champagne is fine.
And then a heap of fruit, Harley. There's often a salad floating in there.
Sometimes.
Isn't that Pimm's?
Yeah, they put fruit and mulled wine. People just like putting a soup in their drink nowadays.
Look, to be honest, by the end of this day, there was a soup. At one stage, I think I had a beer and an Aperol Spritz going together. I'd set up the Cub. Now, let me talk you through my favourite yard game. Cub is often referred to as Viking chess. And basically, it's just blocks of timber being thrown at other blocks of timber. So now we've got alcohol, always drink responsibly, Dumber Radio Coats. We've got children. We've got McKelpie. We've got balls. We've got things being thrown.
Yep.
We've got sticks of wood coming out of the ground. I'd also been to a scrap metal yard because my eldest child, the aforementioned who just got his ears pierced, wants to be a blacksmith, so we're building a forge. Ooh. So there's scrap metal all around the yard.
The bellows.
it's all going on. Great.
Was there a cob loaf involved? Because there's always that one person that loves the cob.
Yeah, there's a sourdough that's been, you know, they've aged and pulled the yeast out of their own beard.
Harley,
we are in Melbourne.
This is your son. You said what's old is new again. He got the ears pierced. He's really gone old school. He wants to be a blacksmith.
That's true.
What do you get when I have for my birthday? A leather apron? Thanks, Dad.
And then, because it was, you know, it was a sunny day in Melbourne, obviously I had to start a fire because it was absolutely freezing. And so I've set the fire out and I've put some the paper in and some wood and, you know, what children and dogs running around and all this. Fire is a good addition to that. So I've also then doused the fire in some metho and off it goes.
Oh. Beautiful.
My friend says to me, I think less of you as a man because you started a fire like that. And I said, oh, you confused me with a Victorian. I'm actually a Queenslander. And in Queensland, what we do is need fire now.
Yes, thank
so
you.
If that takes a can of diesel, then that's what you do to get fire started. I'm not some sort of fire magician. Anyway, one of the dads that were there, good mate of mine, I would say was a little bit more nervous about the rambunctiousness of my children than, say, I was. And he was, I wouldn't say he was a helicopter parent, but he was certainly hovering over the situation. Yes. And friends refer to my kids as they live vertically, right? They're always up shit. They're constantly.
Yeah.
You turn your back and they're on top of something, even something that you thought, I wouldn't have even imagined that a trained professional could have got up there.
Bit free range, Harley, I would imagine.
Very free range.
Very much like mine.
You know, and they're digging holes in the mud. And at one point, another one of my mates yelled out at his kid and goes, cut it out. And I went, nah, it's all right. It's just a mud pit up there. And he goes, nah, he's doing it differently. And I looked over and he did have a mattock and a shovel, was digging quite a substantial hole. And at one point, the dad that was being a little bit of a helicopter dad was like, oh, hey, guys, they could really hurt themselves running around like that. And I'm like, yep, no, that's definitely a possibility. He goes, should we stop it? And I said, listen here, mate. I know this for sure. There will be screaming. Now, that screaming could happen when I force a stop to this game or when they collide with each other's faces. Now, I've done my parent maths and I reckon I've got more beer drinking time if I play out the colliding scenario.
And also, if they hit each other in the head, they'll then want to stop and you're not the bad guy. You
correct.
Told See, so. I told you so.
And then you get a win.
They need a bit of nurturing sitting on dad's lap while he finishes beer off. Anyway, one kid lost his tooth and my mate's suing him, but, you know.
They're not coming back. Marto and Margo,
Triple M Breakfast. We're giving away a chance to get to the NRL Grand Final later in the show.
Just before the end of the show, so 8:50 a.m. be listening from then.
Enjoy yourself if you win that, because I just want to talk about the Geelong Cats. It's still going. You remember how they had their, they had their night out and...
Well, they won and then...
And then they had their big night.
Mad Monday.
Then they had their mad... No, well, yeah, then they... No, then
they had the parade down in Geelong on the foreshore.
Parade was yesterday.
It was... Yeah, they had some people there Sunday, didn't they, too, to celebrate with them?
Sunday they had it. And then they had a proper kilometre-long parade through Geelong.
They've been busy.
They have been busy. So what was yesterday? Tuesday. Mad Monday, they turned up at the pub. That's what... What's this one again?
This has got one of the greatest lines.
Ready?
I think they say
the greatest team of all.
We play the game as it should be played, I think.
Oh.
We
play the
game as it should be played. Well, that's not a good drag.
Do any teams play it as it shouldn't be played?
We listen to the umpire.
Is there any chance they could get a song that's not 70 years old? But anyway, that's what I want to talk about. You know how they went on the Mad Monday? They got a retirement village bus from a local retirement village and all grey hair.
They were all dressed up as old people.
And Zimmer frames. Well, because they're the oldest team in the history of the AFL to win a premiership.
And they got a lot of criticism for it, didn't they?
I've heard oldest team ever to actually play the game average age, regardless finals, everything.
Oh,
check
to
that.
Play? I think I just thought it was to win the grand final.
Oldest team to take the field.
You know, when you throw down the challenge, worst team on paper, like the State of Origin side, they come out and win. They were touted, the oldest team. They copped a lot of criticism and said if they're too old, they can't do it.
Team T-shirts has got Geelong, and it's also on the Geelong Cats website. Too old, too slow, too good with the Premiership Cup. So they're rubbing it in, and they rubbed it in at Mad Monday when they all got dressed up with their Zimmer friends over. La, la, la. All right, a bit of a backlash down in Melbourne.
Oh.
Ageism.
Oh, no.
All these oldies.
But the old people are upset.
Is 3AW a radio station in Melbourne?
Correct, Talkback.
Okay, yeah. Would they be an old radio station?
Talkback, yeah.
It started with Norm rang them yesterday, apparently.
Of course Norm
said,
did.
This is a disgraceful.
Did Norm
Ma
then call?
And demeaning to any of us oldies who've got mobility issues. They were poking fun of us at their mat. Listen,
they were poking fun at themselves.
All right, they're poking fun at the media for calling them old. Norm's got it backwards. The ageism here is against young people because they're saying we're old and we won.
We won.
Being old's good.
Being old is good.
Diana also rang the program.
Diana. It would have been
Diana said it was inappropriate. I retired last year and I seem to be the butt of a lot of jokes lately. What about? I'm demoralised by people saying you're old and they're old jokes on the radio. Terrible. And I'll speak on behalf of anyone who's old with mobility issues. I don't give a stuff. But Diana goes on, jokes on TV and belittling the elderly. I don't agree with it all. In this day and age, we should be better than that. Pavel, do you reckon you'd like to run in Diana today?
No.
Here's the thing. People make those jokes when they're younger, and then as they get older, they become less funny because you're now the butt of the joke.
Yes, exactly.
Can we go to line three and hear what Cecil has to think?
It's as easy as 50-50. Or heads or tails. Triple M breakfasts. This or that.
Here we go. $100 voucher to Popolo, Brisbane's most authentic Italian feasting experience. We went there recently. It's bloody wonderful. Had some gluten-free options for you, Margo. You were happy looking out over the Brisbane River from South Bank?
It was glorious.
Wonderful. Well, why don't you get Ali and Moggle there with $100, Margo? You're playing for her today.
Hey, Ali.
Hello.
How are you, babe? I'm halfway through reading the paper. I feel smarter already and I'm ready to go.
I believe in you. You've got this.
Thank you.
As long as I don't ask something about the other half. Hey, Mark from Slacks Creek, it's all about you, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, mate.
Rightio. First to two will win it. 1 point per question, Margo. It's Wednesday, so you will go first. This or that. Very simple. Two options. You hit me with one. If you're right, you get a point. Is there more KFC or McDonald's restaurants in Australia?
McDonald's. It's got to be. It's like one in every suburb, sometimes two.
I reckon KFC came first in Australia. Would that be correct?
Or did they get a head start? What are you thinking, Margo?
Generally, there's one for one in most places.
Thoughts?
Not. Is there more McDonald's, though, in the service stations? You know, like when you stop at a service centre?
Come on, mate. I'm going to appeal to the umpire.
Come on, quick.
McDonald's.
Yes. 869 McDonald's in Australia, 712 KFC.
Did someone say KFC? I don't
care. I love it. Marto, to stay in the game, to get the point, otherwise it'll go to Margo.
I understand, Matt.
That'll be over. Who's got more followers on Instagram? Your favourite? You're becoming an influencer?
How would I know? What's that, Penrith?
The Penrith Panthers Instagram page.
Oh, no. Parramatta. Oh, bloody hell. Come on, mate.
We are the boys and we beat the other team.
Okay.
Can I just use this time quickly to say Greg Marto Martin on Instagram.
No,
follow him.
No, I haven't posted for
Let's
more than a year.
Let's try and get him to 4,000 followers. You're currently at 3,233.
I'll put a photo up.
Hey, I'm trying to answer a question here.
Greg Marto Martin, or
Panthers
one word.
Or Eels? More Panthers. Followers. What do you got?
Panthers, because they're younger, because they've had recent success. Parramatta are older with no success. I'm probably wrong. Penrith. Thank you.
255,000. Eels have 212,000.
Jeez, close.
It's a tiebreaker.
All right.
It's one apiece.
Okay.
Just yell it out. Don't need name as buzzer. According to the Forbes 2022 Rich List, who has a higher net worth? Michael Jordan or Clive Palmer?
Michael Jordan.
Margo got in first with Michael Jordan there.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Just check with the producer. Yep. Okay.
The answer is Clive Palmer. Margo, so that means...
See, that did you do a little lesson there? Don't jump in.
Clive Palmer's worth $1.9 billion. Michael Jordan's worth $1.7 billion.
The producer said Marto got in first, actually.
So it's a $200 million difference between Clive and MJ.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What is Clive Palmer doing?
Mining, I think.
Picking the good mines.
Jesus.
He actually doesn't do anything, but he owns the mines.
Is he married?
What
does
that,
he need a new wife?
What does that tell you?
I'm in
Don't
the market.
Don't bother being fit and playing sport.
That's
Just
right.
Eat whatever you
Just
want
be a
and
fat bastard
pull shit out
toys.
Of the ground and you'll
Cole.
Get it.
Long live Cole.
Mark in Slacks Creek. Mate, you're off to Popolo. Thanks to Marto. Say thank you.
Yeah, beauty.
Yeah, enjoy, mate. It's a great joint.
Score overall.
Thanks, Marto. Well
Get the
done.
There you go.
Get
score.
It was delicious.
No one's ever said that on radio.
2 points to Marto, one point to Margo in the overall game. This or that.
Marto and Margo on Triple M Breakfast.
What are you guys doing tonight around 8:30 p.m.? Got plans?
You know exactly what we're doing.
Cancel it. If you're doing anything else, 8:30 p.m., ABC TV and ABC iView. You can check out Question Everything, the perfect show for us, because despite being part of the media, we do not trust the media.
Well, we know what goes on behind the curtains.
I don't trust anything I'm saying right now. I might have got the time wrong. In fact, the man who can confirm that with us, Will Anderson, is on right now. Is it indeed on? Because we know what the mainstream media is like. They get everything wrong. Is it on at 8:30 tonight? Will.
Well, don't believe everything that you listen to, I guess, is the answer. But here's what I will say. it's on at 8:30 tonight.
Yeah. We nailed it.
That you actually can trust.
Is it also, true that it's been extended to a massive 10 episodes, Will?
That is also true.
Oh, look at us telling the truth.
Finally.
Well, I mean, at least you're reading off the PR.
Yes, we are.
Can I check something? Like Gruen transfer, I thought that was about what? How is Question Everything different to the Gruen transfer, which is one of the better shows on TV? It seems like the same sort of thing. You're exposing people.
Okay, well, I do like exposing people. I guess that is my go-to. But in Gruen, we expose the world of advertising.
Yeah.
And this is more your media. So the tricks of the media play to get us to click through to things. But we also have a panel of comedians. So the idea is to make it funny. We've got no experts on this show. We're not getting media experts in. We don't get experts in like we do on the advertising show. We get comedians in to have a laugh.
Right.
A natural progression of just exposing stuff is to end up, you know, the roosters will always come home and you'll end up, what I really want to see on the ABC, Will, is Will Anderson exposes himself.
Well, that's what people at the ABC are paying people not to have happen. Nobody wants to see Will Anderson expose himself on the ABC, because even if I exposed myself on the ABC, everyone would think it was Adam Hills anyway. They'd be like, why is Adam Hills exposing himself?
Well, if you expose yourself, we could check the number of feet that you do indeed have, Will. If you were completely exposed, we could differentiate.
Two. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this is the sort of like ABC programming. I'm not sure how much ABC programming you're watching, but like on Q&A, one of the questions isn't, can you take down your pants and show us what you're packing?
It should be.
This is a respectable organisation.
That's where I want my taxpayer dollars to go, Will, to Will Anderson exposes himself.
Or just one of the co-hosts, just give him a quick little dack. Is dacking still a thing?
It would get more people tuning into Insiders on a Sunday morning if there was a chance that a politician would come on for a dacking.
I've got
if
two
David
boys.
Spears was like, I disagree with you. Dacked.
They think it's hilarious, my two boys. They dack each other all the time. I think it's funny.
Well, I guess, if we get some kids in to do the dacking, then the dacking.
Yeah. Then it's okay.
I'm okay with that. So, all right. So let's just say the next time somebody comes in for an interview on 7:30 Report and, Sarah Ferguson sitting down for a hard-hitting interview with, like, Elmo, for example, and just in the corner there's, like, a 7-year-old kid just warming up his hands.
You tell one lie, Elmo.
Yeah. One lie, Elmo.
You're out.
Pants out.
And I'm not afraid to give you a wedgie or a Chinese burn as well. If needed, I will come in with the Chinese burn.
Sensational.
Hey, listen, in terms of Questioning Everything, you used to work with with Eddie Maguire.
Yes. Good start. Okay, good start. With a sigh.
Did, he ever say to you, you know how you were living in Sydney and he was living in Melbourne, did he ever say, welcome to the world's greatest city or something like that to you?
Yeah, of course. He loves Melbourne. He's like he wants to be the mayor of Melbourne.
And what did you say back to him?
What I tried to do was just like, you know.
No, did you tell him about, hey, have you heard of the Sydney Harbour, Eddie?
Right, well, look, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, you know, I mean, it's no Yarra River. Like, I mean, I live by the harbour. I'm very lucky. But, like, I look at it most days and it's blue or see-through. You look at that Yarra River, it's brown and solid. That's a river. That's how a river should be.
And that's where the AFL players belong. They just had their parade on the Friday, Will. I don't know if you saw that. No one could actually see the players. They put them on boats in the middle of the Yarra to bring them down to celebrate them ahead of the grand final. Do we need to get more NRL players out on Sydney Harbour?
I mean, wouldn't that be great if we just, like, in the lead up to the grand final, we just get everybody out on a stand-up paddleboard in the middle of Sydney Harbour?
Magnificent. Hey, listen, can I ask about the show? If you're going to talk, I see you're going to talk about the chess scandal. Yes. We briefly mentioned it here the other day. How are you going to approach that?
Yeah, interesting. Well, from behind, if the reports are to be believed.
Dack them, Will. Dack them. That could be the solution chess. You dack the players before they go out to the ball.
Well, so you guys know what this story is. So this is the story that allegedly there's been some cheating in the world of chess because this young gun has knocked off their champion using what they believe they've called euphemistically wireless personal sexual devices, but what most people would call anal beads. That's what the headlines are.
Vibrating ones.
And they can send him Morse code via his bum to make a move.
And you know, the best person to check for that sort of cheating stuff is mums, because if you've ever had a kid with worms and you've had to lay them down, spread their cheeks, shine a light in there, looking for whether the worm is going to appear or not.
Have you done this?
I mean, you don't. Yes, I have.
So next chess tournament, we need to give Magnus Carlsen some Combantrum and Dacum.
Yes. And a strong torch and Margo to check up there.
You don't need a comedian. You need some mums.
There you go.
Well, what I enjoyed about that was just so she could go fishing too.
Question everything. That's the advice, Will. Chess players or not, returns Wednesday, 28 September. That's tonight, 8:30 p.m. on ABC TV. Or you can catch up on iView. Get out there, Will. Do some ducking, mate. We'll let you go.
Thank you for talking to me from the best city on earth.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
Can we? You remember yesterday we were talking about the history of Parramatta Footy Club and
haven't won a grand final since Peter Stirling had hair.
1986, they won in 1981, they won in 1982, they won in 1983, they lost the grand final in 1984, and they won again in 1986. I don't know what happened in 1985, but remember I was saying about burning the grandstand down at the Cumberland Oval, their field, because it was going to be demolished.
It was a timber one.
Timber one. I have more information, and I have a special guest on late in the show who was there. She was one of the people who helped burn the grandstand down.
Oh, did she bring the matches?
No, well, I don't want to. Well, I haven't spoken to her. I only spoke to her husband. So I said, can you get the missus on? He said, yep, she was there.
Was it a petrol type situation or fire starter?
All right. I don't want to go too deep into this. They tried twice. The fire brigade came twice and put it out, and they finally burned it down on the third go. Parramatta people are determined when it comes to arson.
If those fireys were from Parramatta, they should have helped him. Well, listen, this is how you burn down.
This is how you burn down.
Come on, guys.
That's later. Can we quickly talk about, we need to do the history of the Penrith Rugby League Club, if you wouldn't mind.
We tracked down their theme song. Would you
have
like
it? Have you got it?
Yeah.
I bet you it's best.
Be the best. We're from the West.
Yes.
That would have been in there.
We wear flannelette.
Yeah.
anyway. Hey, listen.
And all right. After we'll get so pissed and end up a mess.
Here we go. Are you ready for the history?
I'm ready. Quick,
and my life is slightly entwined. In 1988, playing for the Wallabies, okay, get a contract offer to go to the Panthers. $80,000, 1988.
Because you weren't getting paid as a Wallaby,
Zero. Until 1995, you played rugby for nothing. We used to look at 72,000 people here today. How come we're not getting paid?
Money?
Anyway.
So good money, right?
So I ummed and ahed and said to Dad, what do you reckon? I love playing for the Wallabies. And it took too long. I waited a couple of months, pulled the offer, and I was so happy because then Phil Gould ended up coaching them. And I went, dodged a bullet there.
But you played rugby league before you played rugby union.
Yeah, I was always a rugby kid.
You were a leaguey.
A rugby league kid. Hey, but I want to tell you about the history. So in 1967, the New South Wales Rugby League said we need two new teams, and they virtually guaranteed Cronulla, so they came into the comp, and Penrith and Wentworthville, which are also out Western Sydney, they went, oh, pick me, and they picked Penrith, okay? And then they said, oh, what are we? We're the Penrith, and they had a public competition, and a woman, she was a graphic artist, said, oh, Penrith Panthers, you know, alliteration and everything, so they went, go with the Panthers, and away they went.
On a public vote, they didn't get Penny McPenface.
Or pigs. The Penrith pigs.
Yeah, piggies.
Okay. So, 1967. When did they win their first premiership?
I have no idea.
1991. So it took them 23 years to get into the grand final. Listen to this one. 1990. This is where their history becomes interesting because we all know the last few years they've been tremendous. You know, grand final 2 years ago, 3 years ago. This is their third grand final. Lost that one. Then won last year and they've swept all before them. They're all the origin. Everything's hunky-dory now. Gus Gould's got a lot to do with it. Some of the good work he did there in the last 8 years or so. But I want to go back to 1990. The Raiders had beaten you. So you guys, that generation just before you would remember the 1989 grand final until 2015 was the greatest grand final in the history of the game. Canberra Raiders beat the Balmain Tigers in extra time. Steve Jackson scored the try, la, la, la. A lot of people will remember it. 1991, Penrith made the grand final against the Raiders. Okay, sorry, 1990. Yeah, so that was 90. Oh, God, 1989. 1990, Penrith played the Raiders. The Raiders beat them, okay? Mm. So, Penrith, you've got to lose one to win one quite often. 1991 is when Penrith won their first grand final.
Wow.
And it was just crazy. Roy Simmons, their hooker and captain, he scored maybe one or two tries. He said, I'll shout anyone that I see from Penrith a beer. And 2 days later, I saw him on telly. Fair dinkum, he had been drinking for two or three days.
It
was wonderful. That's 91.
If you signed in 1988, you could have been a part of the premiership.
Could have won part of premiership. I know, I look back now and go, you're an idiot, but I would have had to put up with Gus Gould, who I've had a lifetime hatred of. All right, so 1992, June. This is where it all started to unravel. Mm. So they've been in, already been in two grand finals, won one. They were looking like they were. They had Brad Fittler in the team. That Brandy Alexander was incredible, the best halfback in the game. They had Mark Geyer. They had an extraordinary team.
Sattler was he around
then? No, not there. No, he wasn't until 2000s. So they're looking like a team that could win three or four premierships in a row. On June 21 in 1992, they had their presentation. They finally got around to it. To their Blazers. Here you go. Good on you. They had a big night out at the club. They'd had a win that day. And Brandy Alexander's brother, a 20-year-old Ben Alexander, who was playing hooker for the club, outstanding young player, had already played 30 games, was involved in a car accident and he lost his life.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
no. This changed Penrith Rugby League Forever. Club for the next 10 years. They took them to recover. Because after that, Brandy Alexander stopped playing for the rest of the year. He was too distraught. His younger brother got killed. He stopped playing. Then he went to the Warriors. He said, I can't hang around. I've got to get out of here. Mm. Mark Geyer left the club. Brad Fittler left the club. So their three best players all left the club. That season, they were coming second when young Ben Alexander had the car accident. It was so sad. It was such enormous news. Midway through a season, they were coming second. They ended up coming sixth. There was only a final five. They lost eight of their last nine games because the whole club had had their heart ripped out.
Yeah.
It was terrible. And it took them, I reckon it took them more than a decade. It might have taken 3 years.
Did they win one in 03?
03. Yeah, so what's that? Another. It took them that long to finally claw their way back and get their heart and soul back. Brownie Alexander came back and Fittler never came back. He took off to the eastern suburbs and never came back. Gerds finally came. Yeah, they finally
started to rebuild a team.
It took them 12 years to rebuild. Jesus. And we finally get to the stage now where we've got the best team in the competition, unfortunately. Some of them have got too much swag of my liking, but that's your history of the Penrith Football Club.
Marto and Margo, Triple M Breakfast.
I'd say, gentlemen, that happy wife, happy life is a pretty good life motto to live by, wouldn't you say?
Blood oath. It's a safe way to live.
It's one of the great threats, but it works.
Well, it was a threat that I had to impose upon my poor husband last weekend because he was so cheerfully talking to his mates about how good Bathurst is going to be. It's on in two weekends. This weekend is the grand final weekend, and then next weekend is Bathurst.
Oh.
And this year, they normally go down boys' trip every year.
Next weekend
the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, whatever.
Remember that
weekend
year he booked the wrong weekend?
Yes.
To Bathurst? He booked all the accommodation. Wrong weekend, mate.
Wrong month.
Did they go anyway, just for a laugh?
No, he ended up having to cancel a whole lot. Yes. But anyway,
are they going?
Bathurst is back on the cards again. They're going this year, but they're organising. So last year they set up all the caravans in a paddock at the back of their mate's place. They hired one of those big tarps and a projector screen TV and they just got smashed
for
4 days.
They pretended they were at Bathurst for the weekend.
Built a bar and they just put 4X bunting and super cheap auto bunting around the bar and pretended like
they're doing it again?
Yeah, they're doing it again. That's they think that they're doing it again, Marto, because I had to obviously come in with the very sad news that we have a few commitments already on next weekend that have been planned and in the calendar for months.
We'll pull it up, love. Yeah.
One being our son's football rugby league breakup party that I have nominated to host at our home.
Yeah, you can host
and the
that.
Other one
host
being
away.
The school annual gala ball, which I'm on the committee for. And so, therefore, these two events have been locked and loaded for months in advance. And I said to him, Dallin, I reckon you need to check your calendar again because that weekend isn't free. I'm sorry. Maybe you could do the Friday, but the Saturday and Sunday, you're out, bud. He goes, they're the only 2 days. I'm not doing it. I'm not coming. If I'm coming, I'm pissed.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want him there.
Otherwise, take
You've
Cass.
Seen him pissed.
She's just thrown my friend in. He said, take Cass to the ball.
Yeah, like, because her husband will be going to the backyard.
It's at his house.
Are we calling it the backyard Bathurst?
The backyard Bathurst. Yeah. I said, I'm sorry, mate. He goes, unfortunately, I have to call it on this one.
Where are we at? I'm firmly in Cos's camp here.
I don't want to take somebody else to the school ball. Who wants to go to somebody else's school ball? I never get to take my husband to anything. Finally, football's finished and he gets to come with me as a date, wear a nice tux.
You talk to him enough. It's really, it's boring. What are you going to do, go to the ball and talk to your husband? No, go to the ball and talk to Kat.
You have your solution. I think the solution is he goes and does Bathurst with the
backyard
mates.
Bathurst.
I'll come to the ball if you want, but I'm wearing an Ampol singlet, ruggers and thongs.
Yeah.
They'll be like,
what do you want?
Geez, Corey looks young and handsome. Where's his grey hair gone?
It'll be 17 rums deep, but I will be there. That's the deal.
He's got a real conundrum on his hands. Does he choose me or Bathurst?
I reckon if you asked half the people who were going to that ball, would they rather go to backyard Bathurst?
It's
grand, it's very
grand final.
Triple M Breakfast's grand final moments.
So what will happen now is we'll put you in the running. I know immediately you're thinking, oh God, we're the competition, thousands of people in a barrel. No. It's not a meat tray at an RSL. There's four people in the running on Friday morning.
Today's person will be the third. We get another one tomorrow. We take you to Suncorp Stadium on Friday. We start throwing the ball through a circle, and the person who throws it, the easy thing, in 60 seconds, throw the ball better than anyone else out of the four, and you go to Sydney with a friend.
Boom. You'll just be there with three other people. 25% chance of going. Unless you practice, up your odds.
But
you got to get there now, Margot.
You got to get there now by A, calling us 133353.
Darren!
And then B, Darren, you've got to identify some audio of a great grand final moment. How many have you witnessed personally? Have you watched every single one of them on the telly?
For sure, every single one.
Are you an Eels or a Panthers fan this weekend?
Mate, I'm a massive Eels fan.
How far back does your love of the Eels go?
Well, mate, I'm 55 and I've been following them ever since then. Yeah.
All right. Can you name that back line outside Stirling was?
You've got Kenny.
Yes.
And you've got Growth.
Yes.
Steve Eller.
Mm.
And Mick Cronin.
Yeah, that'll do.
Well done.
We got Mick Cronin on the show on Friday, Darren. But you've got to know what this big classic Darren, grand final moment is.
That ding there was just for your ego. That you didn't actually win anything. But well done.
And his knowledge of Eels is great, but this won't necessarily be an Eels grand final moment.
So
it could be any grand final moment that's happened over the last 100 years. Darren from Norman Park, the first bit of audio that you need to try and identify is this.
What? Langer away for Renoff.
So what we need from you, Darren, is a year and what was actually happening. What was the moment in the game?
Play it one more time,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, of course.
Langer away for Renoff.
Okay, Daz.
I'm going to say the 2001 Grand Final.
No, sir.
No. Sorry, Daz.
Right, not 2001 Grand Final, Darren from Norman Park. Ben from Bracken Ridge.
Good morning, team.
Good morning. I hear you're a Panthers fan, so other side of the fence for this weekend's game.
Absolutely.
You have to guess what the Grand Final moment is to win your way flights, accommodation, tickets to the Grand Final this weekend. You heard that first bit of audio.
Let's go one more time.
We're going to give you it.
Now he's off hold. He's got clear ears. Have a listen one more time to the first one, Benny.
Langer away for Renoff.
Right, Langer away for Renoff.
Broncos v someone.
Can we stop it there? Because I know it.
You know
Wait.
You don't want another bit of information.
You don't want to hear the next piece of audio.
I don't need any more.
You need the moment in the game too,
Let
Ben.
Him go. Let
him
go.
Mate, I got it. It's all good.
So what is it?
Langer
to Renoff.
Yes.
Renoff, the magic pearl, streaks away for the try in the 1992 Grand Final.
Yeah, he's got it.
Here's the audio that we would have played, Benny.
We haven't seen much of him today. Now take a look at him.
And it continues.
He's heading for the corner and he's over.
Who are you?
22 points before.
Is this Ben as in Ben Eichen? You seem to know a lot about the Broncos.
Is this Ben Hunt?
Good on you, Benny.
Ben from Bracken Ridge.
I'm a big rugby league fan. Been Penrith since about 2014.
Okay. You got
before
a footy,
then was Brisbane.
You got a footy at home. You are into the... there's only going to be four of you there on Suncorp on Friday. Have you got a football at home?
I do.
All right, start practicing.
I shall.
We are going to line you up on Friday, you and three others. There's four of you. It's a one in four chance. Flights, accommodation, tickets to the NRL Grand Final where you can cheer home the mighty Penrith.
Amen.
Whoever gets the ball through that cutout the most in 60 seconds, Benny, this is for you, brother.
Thanks, guys.
To know why Ben deflected in 2014 from the Brisbane Broncos over to the Panthers, Ben. What was the moment for you?
It was Wayne Bennett coming back. I didn't believe in him. I did not believe in him. I don't care whether people agree or not. I didn't see it.
Right.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, okay. No, he did the dirty on the Broncos and then decided to come back for his own reasons. Fair enough.
So you won't be getting around the Dolphins then, Benny?
Ben?
Nah, can't change again. Not yet.
Ben, do you remember the song that Alan Langer sang after the Broncos won the 93 Grand Final?
I want to say simply the best of Tina Turner.
No, St. George can't play, sung in a drunk voice. St. George can't play.
They're used to kind of singing in drunk voices, aren't they?
Hey,
hey,
the
hey.
Ben, you're amazing.
Good on you, Benny.
Congratulations, mate. You are on the standby list. We're going to see you Friday down at Suncorp Stadium.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you there.
On you, mate. Flying out of Brisbane Airport, book your parking online and save. BrisbaneAirportParking.com.au. Cheaper than you think. That's where our winner will be flying out of to head to Sydney on Sunday. Flights, accommodation covered, and tickets to the NRL Grand Final. One more spot.
Oh, we're generous.
One more spot tomorrow morning, so and then easy. It all happens Friday, and we're done. All happy?
Oh, God.
Oh, quite literally, we're done.
We've done overtime.
Yeah. All right. See you tomorrow.
See you, Brisbane.
Love
ya.
Bye for now.